everyone. Welcome to the Nintendo Prime Podcast, episode, 98?
Yes, it is.
Should have been 98 like weeks ago.
Yes,
we should have been 100 by now.
Yes, we should have.
Oh, man. How's it going, everyone? It feels good to be back. I am your host, as always, Nathaniel Rumpeljantz, Mr. Prime. And who do I have over to my left, or your guys' right?
Eric Moore.
Eric Moore, as always. Again, we were going to have some people on this podcast, but it didn't work out. If you would like to be on an episode of the Nintendo Prime Podcast, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Nintendo Prime for $20 a month. You can be on one episode of the podcast per month. We have a bunch of $20 backers. Not all of them take advantage of that, but there are some extra slots available right now that we just added this past week, if you would like to get in on that. That being said, because this is the last podcast recorded in the month of February, even though it releases in March publicly, although this one is being streamed publicly, which is normally a $10 backer benefit. Mm-hmm. They get it every single Thursday. They get the live stream version. The live stream version of this. I am not feeling the greatest, so I apologize if some things happen here. They usually get a live stream version for $10 and up, but once per month we do live stream it publicly as a kind of an advertisement for how this podcast is made possible. It is 100% supported through Patreon. Without Patreon, this podcast is not here more than like once a month. So I know it feels like in February it was one time, but that's not normal.
Yeah.
So... anyways, let's pretend that that didn't happen. One thing we do have to get out of the way for the month of February is thanking all of our $5 and up Patreon backers. Eric, why don't you get us started with all the $5 backers?
All right. We're at the $5 backers. We got Corey Spaulding, and I apologize if I definitely butcher some names here. Well, we got Adam Kosilniak. Yeah.
Okay. Kosilniak?
Kosilniak, yeah.
That's what it looks like
probably,
to me.
That's probably not a bad pronunciation. We got Nick Garcia, Josh Walker, Miranda Har, Nick S., Alex Boyer, Thomas Manor, John, James Fazel, T.T., Eric Levette, Alexander Walford, Alex Laybourne, Chris Palmer, Shahram Ali.
All right, the $10 backers are Lord Platypus.
Nice.
Matthew Campos, Edward Norton, Zenith, Fool of a Took, Mark Bahagiar, Joe Prosco, Nintendog, Roy Elmer, and Eric Wolf. And I guess I'll just throw Joshua Farrington in because for some reason he's at an imaginary tier at $15.
Why not?
It doesn't actually exist, but you so much for the extra $5. Who's at our $20 tier?
We got Be Righteous, Two Homes, Mr. Neil Willis, Corey Bar.
you have to
Corey Boheim, Andrew 243, Nick Baturek,
and we have a special $100 backer this month, Robert D. I think it's supposed to be, it's not Robert, it's Robert D. Smith the fourth. I totally had a typo in that.
I didn't even realize that.
I didn't either. Thank you guys so much for that support. Without it, this is not possible. Not just the podcast, but this channel, especially through this rough month of February. Again, we haven't had a podcast for a few weeks. I apologize. We are back. Should be weekly from now on. Going to try to do a better job of planning. Like if Eric can't be here. I've been kind of in talks with 5J on him kind of being a backup. You guys might know 5J because he used to live stream on weekends. He does not anymore. For those that want to know why, he just straight up told me that he was getting burned out. Mm-hmm. Between streaming on my channel, he also streams on Game Over Jesse's channel, and then his own live streams, it was too much for him. So he didn't mean to burn out. It just happened.
Yeah,
but he still streams on his own channels, and I think he's just drawing himself back because he overextended himself. So, that being said, I'm going to bring this back just because it's been a little bit and we only have one planned topic. Yes, folks, you know we're talking about Pokemon. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. We're not going to talk about that Generation 8 new game stuff. But before we get into that, Eric.
Yes.
What games have you been playing, if any, this entire month? Because it's been a while.
I got a surprise one.
You got a surprise one?
I actually bought a new game.
What? For Switch?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Not. Okay.
It isn't as up to... I do have some complaints about it.
Well, what is it?
That would be Yooka-Laylee.
Oh, you bought a ukulele.
I did. It may just be Joy-Cons, but it feels like the control mechanisms, like the running, the when you're spinning and the roll.
Yep.
It feels like it's almost sometimes too responsive, and it just I'll be going and I just want to turn just a tiny bit, but I'm way over here.
And yeah, like, you get used to it.
No, that's not what I wanted.
You get used to it. It is jarring. It wasn't as jarring to me at the time because there really wasn't any other, like, Odyssey didn't exist, or there wasn't other 3D platformers at the time on Switch, so it didn't really, like, get me at the time. But, like, after playing Odyssey and then going back to it, it's mm-hmm. like, the controls don't feel quite as tight. But you'll get used to it. Now, it is admittedly easier with the Pro Controller because the sticks are longer, so you have more travel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little more finer on that. That's one. Just the Joy-Cons in general have less travel, so your little fine-tuned movements like that aren't as easy to do.
Yeah, because it's like I just move the stick barely, and I'm like,
yeah,
gone that way. And it's like, no.
I
get frustrated. And then the parts that I get frustrated with is when all of a sudden – You're trying to make these jumps, and you do it well enough, and then all of a sudden you just fall, and you're like, all of a sudden you're 20 minutes back, and you're like, why?
Because that's the way it was in Banjo-Kazooie. Don't you remember? You fall, and you got to redo the whole damn thing.
I don't...
That's exactly what it was like in Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The one of the big complaints people have about this game it lacks all of the modern conveniences of gaming and is straight up an N64 game.
Yeah.
And so, like, we think back on, oh, we don't mind that in Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and Conker, blah, 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 blah. But, like, we don't remember those parts. We just remember all the good stuff. We don't remember the you fall and you're frustrated and you have to redo the whole damn thing all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, like, it takes 20 minutes to get back to where you were only for you to thumb slip on the stick again and do it all over again.
Yeah.
And there's no save point that brings you back up there. Yeah. You just that's exactly what those games were like. And this is made by a lot of the same people that did those games. And
it's literally made the same way. The other thing that I don't like, I mean, it's a good game. I like it a lot.
Well, I figured you would like it. I thought there would be some things that you would complain about because it's not Banjo-Kazooie, where you're mentally going to be more forgiving of the things that might frustrate you
mm-hmm.
because you know how awesome the next thing is going to be.
Right.
This is a game you don't know how awesome the next thing is going to be, so it's like, it's got the play style you're going to enjoy, mm-hmm. but things are going to frustrate you more.
Yeah. It doesn't quite feel as obvious what you're supposed to do next, either.
Sure.
Because Banjo-Kazooie, the levels lead you in the...
They kind of give you you can go off the path, yeah.
But it's not fully linear.
It's kind of, it's like Breath of the Wild in the sense, like, Breath of the Wild tells you where to go, but you don't have to go there. Mm-hmm. This game doesn't deliberately, like, Banjo-Kazooie didn't deliberately tell you, but it did like a camera trick whenever someone was talking to you, kind of showing you, like, oh, you should go up here, but you don't have to go up there.
Right.
You can go anywhere you want, but eventually you probably should go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And this game doesn't do as good of a job of that. Mm-hmm. How far are you in it?
I'm in the second level.
Okay.
The snow level.
Okay.
Basically just kind of started that. Trying to find some of the other moves so I can get back into the first level and get some of the more of the pages.
Yep.
Did
you get all the moves from the first level?
Yeah, I've gotten all the moves in the first and second level.
Okay.
But another one of the bigger things is there's no actual, like, save option. It's save and quit. And it's like... Really, I just want to save. I don't actually want to quit. And this game actually does, in handheld mode, does take a little bit to load. I've noticed. And so, yeah, saving and quitting is kind of a pain in the ass.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, of that aspect. Not the game. I enjoy the game. That's kind of on my back out to beat. Now that you're playing it again, maybe I'll pick it up again so I actually finish it off.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's again, when I was playing it on the, I bought it at Chris's house, and I was playing it in his dock, and it didn't seem as bad. So maybe it's more of a I need to dock it for that.
For the what? The controls?
I don't know if it was just the controls or if it was just it felt better on the large screen.
Sure.
I don't know how to explain it.
I hear you on that. There are some games on Switch that I feel like that where, yeah, it's playable and portable. It's okay. But I think for like Yooka-Laylee, it's a collect-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
So a big thing in collect-a-thons
is being able to see things.
You got to see things. Yeah. And you got to see far. And like mm-hmm. you're trying to collect, I think they're quills?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
They're small.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just easier to see when the screen is bigger, easier to see things going on in the background, and thus... Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it makes the game easier, but it makes you not have to be as close to figure things out.
Right.
And I think that's important in any sort of major 3D platforming collect-a-thon kind of game. And I think that's a disadvantage of being on the go. And it also shows why I actually like the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could take it with you, but there are some experiences better on the big screen, and it lets you have those experiences on the big screen.
Right.
Whereas if it was just a portable, which some people... wish that Switch was just a portable and didn't even have the dock mode option, it can hurt some games in that kind of sense. And I think Yooka-Laylee is a good example of that. There's some fun things in that game. Have you found yourself laughing at any of the jokes yet?
Oh, yeah.
You're pretty early on, so the jokes are...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are kind of...
Oh, for sure.
I mean, they're...
Yeah.
they're lame, but of course they're lame.
It's Banjo-Kazooie. In that, the sense of humor, I love the talking, because, again, it's all Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Love that. It does get a little old after a while, but, you know, it's not terrible. I do like it. Trying to think of what else there is. Overall, I mean, I enjoy the game.
Yeah.
But...
I always knew you'd enjoy the game. The thing is, to me, is how much do you enjoy it will be determined, I think, by how long you continue to play it for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just happen to know you haven't beat Zelda yet, you haven't beat Odyssey yet, mm-hmm. and you really, really, really love those games.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was like a new Banjo-Kazooie game, you would have that beat the first week.
Yes,
so it's like...
Yeah,
so
probably. Yeah, probably.
So it's one of those, is this going to be the first game on Switch you actually beat?
I don't know.
I mean, depends on how long it is, of course.
Right. But.
And I'm not telling 100%. It's a collect-a-thon, so we can't help it. We have to collect everything.
Yeah, I'm 100% in a collect-a-thon.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you play them. It's for the cool platforming and the collecting things.
Is it, at this point in time, with how long it's been out, is it a spoiler warning?
No.
No?
No, there's no spoilers. Okay. No.
I do like the throwback quiz show.
To
get into the second one, that one was funny.
Yeah.
Although I do feel like there were some questions that were given to you that you had no chance of knowing because you never actually accessed those areas in the first level because you didn't have certain moves, and it's like you're asking me this question and I didn't find this character. I didn't do that.
It's how? Trial and error.
No, I know it is. That's how I got through it.
That's how I got through it, too.
Yeah. But it was like, what? I didn't find this character. This character's in the second level! What? I mean, it's possible that the one character's in the first level, too, but I just haven't found him because I don't have the moves to get to him.
Sure.
But it's like, okay, sure. Why not? Sure. I like the throwback. Honestly, the whole game's a throwback, so it's...
Yeah. It's a fun game. Not perfect, but you know what? It's been a long time since we had a game like it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been other 3D, you know, even like Super Lucky's Tale that came out on Xbox. Like, really, really good. That might be coming to Switch eventually here. And, like, that one, that's another one I'm interested in seeing. Some people are like, oh, some people really liked it. Some people said, oh, it's not as good as the old games. It's like, well, are we putting the bar too high? Because these 3D collect-a-thon style games, besides Mario, just haven't really been around.
Yeah.
So, like... Can we give people a break? Like this isn't even the full old school team that made it. Like, it's just mm-hmm. part of that team. And so it's like, okay, they did this. Don't you think if they do it again, they're going to be better the second time right. around?
Yeah.
You would figure they're going to learn from it and get better.
Right.
So,
yeah, definitely.
You know, like, let them grow. Let's not, like, just destroy these games because, oh my gosh, they're not as good as our holy grails.
Right.
You know, I mean, I want them to tackle a spiritual successor next to, you know, a little Conquer action. No. I want some M-rated comedy. And
you're gonna have, you can't go Conquer themselves.
No, obviously. Right. Just like this is Banjo-Kazooie, but it's not Banjo-Kazooie. Right. Like, right. Yeah, something like that, but then goes for the M-rated humor. Oh, yeah. The toilet humor. And yeah. I would love that. We'll see if that ever happens. I don't know what these groups are working on next, but is there any other games you played this month?
No, I don't.
Well, we obviously played some Madden on the Xbox One.
A little bit of Switch, or a little bit of Smash. When I was back over at Chris's earlier this month. I think those were the main two games that I've played.
Cool. For me, let's see. I gotta dig into it. First of all, I gotta be honest. I have not been playing a lot of my Switch over the last couple, not really most of the month. Which it's weird because you figure with all the snow days and they're not, you know, working and then not feeling good, you know, why wouldn't you pick up your Switch and play it? Just didn't have the energy or the time.
Well, that and snow days, your kids would have it.
No, I don't really let them play it on the snow days too much. But the one snow day I did. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I usually try to entertain them and have like different activities and stuff, so they're not just playing video games.
Because
I know
I saw the one picture.
That was the one snow day where I was like, okay, play video games, I'm done.
Yeah.
I think I wasn't feeling that good
was,
that day.
Well, that was probably snow day four in a row.
I don't know.
Could have been. At that point in time.
But for starters, I just haven't played a lot of my Switch this month. This is probably the least amount I have played my Switch ever. Just not out of desire. I've had like earlier today, I had a desire to play it. I just didn't have it with me. I've had desires to play it at times when the battery was dead because, you know, the last person to touch it was my son. And another part was, you know, I had to sell some of my games some of the games I want to play, I just don't have right now, which I can afford to get them back. I just haven't done that yet. I'm kind of waiting on a good sale, or I thought about making, a GameStop video where I order a bunch of used Nintendo Switch games online and see what they send me. I'm going to regret it.
Does GameStop sell grab bags?
No. You have to, you know, you buy the games. Okay. But, like, you don't know if you're just getting the cartridge. You don't know if you're getting the box. You don't know if you're getting the manuals. You don't know what you're getting. You know you're getting the cartridge.
Oh.
You hope that it's not bootleg or something. You don't really know. It's kind of a crapshoot. You bought the game, so they'll send you the game. Maybe, unless they send you the wrong game.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I thought about doing that, but then I'm like, do I want to deal with, like, if something's wrong and I have to send it back? I don't know if I want to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I would rather just go in the store, but
yeah, right.
They don't also always have all the games I want in the store. Day. So, anyways, no, the thing is, you can't take a camera in the GameStop. They make you turn them off. So
what?
Yeah. Although I think if the store manager was there and I sweet talked him a little bit, he'll let me keep it on.
Why?
It's a corporate thing.
Why?
Because nobody brings a camera into GameStop to make them look good.
Sure.
When's the last time you saw a video about GameStop that made GameStop look good?
GameStop does a very good job of making GameStop not look good.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Nobody brings a camera into GameStop for the purpose of making GameStop look good. It's always to make them screw up somehow so they can make a viral video happen.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's just like you can't have your camera on in Best Buy either. There's a lot of stores that won't let you have your cameras on. Doesn't mean there aren't people that sneak it or try to, you know, be discreet about it, but...
Yeah, that's what the phone's for.
I know. Well, that's what people try to do. Like, they'll, like, try to be, like, oh, I put it in my top pocket with the camera conveniently turned around. It's like, if that's not obvious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... anyways. So, we'll see. There might be a video on that coming in the future if I decide to get some of my games back from GameStop just to make a video out of it and to get my games back. So, I haven't played a lot. Obviously, some Madden. Been really enjoying Madden on the Xbox One X. Once it finally got installed and all that was taken care of, it's been a pretty smooth experience. Still some bugs here and there, but they're the same old bugs that I'm used to. So I don't know if I just give it the excuse because I'm used to them. Like the fact that right now the Xbox is on, the TV is off. After we're done recording, I'll turn the TV on and the game won't work.
Yeah.
We'll have to close the game for some reason to restart it. For some reason, sleep mode, one of the most basic modes ever just doesn't work for video games, yeah. or work for Madden anyways. Yeah. I haven't had a problem with it on Switch at all. One thing I can say is did play a little Smash Bros. This month.
Yeah.
With my son, helping him out. He's actually further in World of Light than I am. Nice. Good for him. Yeah. Cause he's determined as hell to beat it. And I've been helping him with some of the tougher ones. I think he's playing on easy. I'm not even sure. Maybe he's playing on normal. And I've been noticing an issue with my Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
They just randomly, like when they're on the side, mm-hmm. they just randomly disconnect. Hmm. And I have to take them off to reconnect them.
Hmm.
Like I can't just hit the buttons with it on to reconnect. It only happens during Smash too.
Interesting.
I don't know what's up with that. So if I leave them disconnected, like if I take them off and I put them in the Joy-Con grip,
yeah,
it's fine. No problem. They never disconnect. Hmm. But if they're connected to the side of it, they just randomly in the middle of matches, whatever, they just stop working.
Interesting.
It's like they died, but they're not dead.
You mean like by Pokemon?
It makes no sense. And I don't know if other people are having this problem, and I've only had it happen with Smash.
Yeah.
So
I know Smash had some random, it seemed like random issues from what I remember with like, but I think it ended up coming down to terrible, say, cards.
Oh yeah. You're talking about the DLC save data corruption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was. Apparently, supposedly had to do with fake SD cards. But I don't know. Like I've never had that Joy-Con issue. Maybe that's something I should probably talk about in on a more public live stream where I'm talking to the chat more. Because then,
for sure.
I'm actually curious if it's a problem where people have, because I can't like make it happen. It's hard for me to capture on camera because I don't know when it's going to happen. It's just random.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't seem to be any consistency to what's causing it.
Right.
And it's possible I just have bad Joy-Cons, and if I get new Joy-Cons, there's no problem. Or it's possible there's something wrong with my Switch.
They're original.
Or Joy-Cons. There's something wrong with the game. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
is there an update for the Joy-Cons, or are you just missing?
Nope, they are up to date. So,
but yeah, but then again, if it was missing an update and that was causing the issue, you'd see it across all games. You'd figure.
Well, no, it's not always the case on Switch. Just like you can get drifting, like stick drifting in one game, but not another. I don't really get it. Okay, well, I don't understand
could
it.
Could be memory leaks too, and
who knows
stuff where you push a stick one direction and all of a sudden you start eventually your character just starts slowly going in that direction and you're like, I'm not pushing that direction anymore. What
I can say is the month of February is the first month I have not bought a new game since Switch came out.
Well, you still got,
I think I have bought a new game
2 hours?
every single month, at least one game since Switch came out.
You still got 2 hours.
I mean, part of me wants to get Wargroove. Came back out back on February 1st. Heard it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But when am I going to play it? I don't know. I'm sorry. No, I did get one new game because it was free. Tetris 99.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. I didn't buy it, but that's because it's not a game you can buy. Well, you can argue I did because you have to have the Nintendo Switch Online service, and I have that.
Yeah,
so I guess I have played Tetris 99 this month. I did really enjoy Tetris 99. Yeah. I think it's brilliant. Battle Royale Tetris.
Yeah.
Battle Royale Tetris. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
And it just works. It sounds like the stupidest thing, but it just works, and I love it. I'm not like that great at it, but I don't care. It's fun.
Yeah.
It is so fun. And what I like about it is a battle of survival. It's not like, high score. No. It's last person standing, baby.
Yeah.
And, like, you can attack other people, like, by sending extra lines to them.
Yeah.
And I haven't quite figured out how that all works yet. There's a specific way to do it, and that's why all 99 of you are on screen at once, because you can, like, select people and, like, I don't care. I'm just trying to stay alive myself. I'm not to the point that I'm pro enough.
I'm not good at Tetris.
That's what it feels like. Like, I'm going along cool, and all of a sudden I get to the top 50, and I'm like, what is going on? Stop sending me lines!
They just know it's you, and they're like, nope.
Yep. Oh, it's a YouTuber. We got to take him out. Tetris 99, a lot of fun. A lot more fun than I ever thought the concept would be. So I've played quite a bit of that. That's probably the game I played the most this month. I probably sunk at least 10 hours into Tetris 99.
Huh.
But yeah, besides that, I did play the demo for Daemon X Machina. I played and beat that.
Mm-hmm.
I am now sold on the game. I made a whole video about that, I think, about mm-hmm. how I'm sold on the game. So it's not perfect. I still don't fully understand the story. I'm sure if I replayed through the demo, I would understand it better. There was a lot going on, and I didn't pay, I guess, close enough attention. I was having too much fun with the gameplay, which surprised me because I'm not into mech games. I mentioned in my video about it that it reminded me the gameplay itself reminded me a lot of Starlink Battle for Atlas, which is why I like it.
Right.
Other people are going to be like, "Oh, well, this game is more like these other mech games." I'm like, "That's cool. I don't play mech games."
Right.
So I'm comparing it to things I've played. I'm sorry. I really, really enjoyed it. There are FPS issues for sure. And I think that turned a lot of people off from the game.
Yeah.
I think I'm a weird one with FPS.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few situations in gaming that FPS dips bother me to the point I don't want to play anymore. Madden is one. Like when we were doing Madden on PC, I had to mess with the settings around because low FPS on that I hated.
Right.
Because you get those lag spikes and I can't deal with that in that. But that's a multiplayer game that requires quick button pushing and twitch actions. Whereas like World of Warcraft, multiplayer game. I played that game in single digits forever. It didn't really bother me. And like even now, even today, like okay, I can run World of Warcraft in 4K and blah 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 at ultra settings, but then I'm only running at like 25 FPS. And I just don't care. I'll just run the game at 25 FPS. Everyone else will be like, why don't you lower the stuff down and get to 60 or get to 100 plus? I'm like, I don't know. I do it, and yeah, it feels smooth, but then the game doesn't look as good, and I just rather have the game look good and have my character every now and then go like this to this.
I'm used to clicking. I'm used to clicking now and then having my spell cast now.
Like, it doesn't... I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much. So, like, Starling Battle for Atlas, there are FPS dips in Starling Battle for Atlas, and I just didn't care. Mm-hmm. It didn't bother me. Maybe it's because it's solo, single player. I don't know. It just didn't bother me. So, like, that's why Daemon X Machina, like, someone pointed out, oh, but what about I remember the frame rate dips here and there. I remember, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's not that good. But then I just stopped caring.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people that where frame rate, I guess, doesn't matter as much to me. It matters for some reason. I would rather there be a smooth frame rate than not. But I honestly don't care as long as it's playable and fun. I care that it's fun what I'm playing. And if I'm having a lot of fun, frame rate dipping here and there is whatever. I'll deal with it because it's fun.
Yeah.
So I guess the moral of the story is I think Daemon X Machina is so fun that the frame rate dips don't bother me.
Yeah.
Yoshi. Ooh, I have to play the Yoshi demo.
I know, I have to get that.
Mm. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a very good demo. Very easy, but Yoshi's always easy, and it's a beginning stage, so whatever. Another collectathon. Yeah. Love it. I mean, the only knock is the resolution. They went with 60 FPS, but you can tell, like, forget Digital Foundry and their analysis. Like, I didn't need their analysis to tell me this wasn't running in HD. There are many times, especially in handheld, where it's like, okay, it's a little blurry. This game, it's like there's a filter over it, and it's all blurry. Why?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to maintain 60 FPS, and they wanted to do it in Unreal Engine 4. Unreal Engine 4 is really hard to maintain 60 FPS in. So they decided to sacrifice resolution in order to do that. So it runs sub-HD pretty much all the time. It's a dynamic resolution scaler that pretty much never hits 720p. So, that bothered me a bit. It bothered me to the point that, what did I just say earlier? Okay, you know, games run in single digits and I'm okay sometimes. Yeah, I wouldn't find if Yoshi was 30 FPS.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have cared. I know a lot of other people would have, though. They would have been screaming, how could this not be 60 and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. I would have been fine with 1080p and 30 FPS. Four. Personal preference, but it's a single player game, the two. So like it was a multi, and the thing is, I know some people in platformers, they love that smoothness, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't prefer 60 FPS. I would prefer 1080p and 60 FPS. But if I have to have one or the other, I'd rather have 1080p and 30. But that's just me. Everyone is different. You know, I'd rather have 720 and 60 if possible. But we apparently it's not possible with this game. So very interesting though. I mean, who knows? Maybe a Switch Pro or something will come out someday, and games like this with dynamic resolution scalers will just stay at 720 or higher when that comes out.
But maybe.
If it comes out. And yeah, I think that pretty much rounds out what I played this month. Just some demos and Tetris 99.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I guess we can get to the big boy, the big story.
Yeah.
The one that people might love or hate our response to.
Yeah.
So, over the past week, the new generation of Pokemon was finally unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
Officially on Pokemon Day, which is the anniversary of the... Is it the anniversary of the whole series or just the anime? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyways.
I didn't even realize it was Pokemon Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
27th of February, Pokemon Day. Anyways, I know that. Come on, you're not a true Pokemon fan. You know what Pokemon Day is. Yeah. Anniversary of our childhood.
Right.
Anyways. As I don't even remember if it's for the game or for the anime. I think it's for the whole series, but anyways.
Yeah.
So Pokemon Day. They did a 7-minute Nintendo Direct, or I should say Pokemon Direct as they called it.
Yes.
Again, never been unveiled in a Nintendo Direct.
Yes.
But a Pokemon Direct. All right. It was quite literally just about the 8th generation games.
Yes and no.
It's a yes. Okay, the last little 5-second snippet that just makes you get frustrated.
Right.
All right. So what are we talking about? What are these games called?
Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield.
Pokemon Sword and Shield. For starters, name. What do you think about the names?
I like it. I think it's
I've seen some people that don't like it. I don't know. I mean, there's people that don't like it. There's always people who like and don't like anything. One, right. I like high medieval fantasy. Right. Sword and Shield sounds cool to me.
Right.
Logos look cool. Yeah, I like the wolf heads, the color schemes. Obviously, red and blue. You know, who's going to hate on that color scheme for Pokemon?
Right.
But I guess I can understand like why some people might not like the names or like the logos. Because if someone had told you it was going to be Pokemon Sword and Shield, like a month ago,
mm-hmm.
and they showed you these logos, you would have been like, that's got to be made up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't look like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Sword and Shield, you don't fight anyone with a sword and shield.
Yeah.
You know, you a wolf head, like, yeah, what is this, The Witcher?
Right. I mean, yeah, I get it.
But there's the thing. We don't know the full context.
Right.
So, like, it looks confusing now, but then when we know the full context of the game, maybe it all makes sense. So, it's all...
Right.
You know, it's all just left up to our imaginations now. Like, I think people just got used to other things that I guess made more sense of colors.
Yeah.
Or like minerals.
Mm-hmm. Sun, moon.
Yeah, like
stars.
Yeah, just like, I don't know, I guess more scientific-y kind of terms, maybe.
Yeah. No,
more something
it.
Like that.
I get it.
Whereas like sword and shield is like, no, like that's fantasy. Like when you say sword and shield, you instantly think like medieval ages. And
right.
You're just like, huh?
Yeah, what?
But yeah, this doesn't take place in medieval ages.
Yeah.
It takes place in, what's it, Galara? Galara? Yeah. Or something like that?
Yeah.
I probably butchered the name. I apologize. I don't have like a info sheet right in front of me. But the land itself, the overall map,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the UK.
You think it's the UK?
I think it's the UK. I initially, like, in the stream was saying Italy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, the more and more I looked at it, I'm like, oh, wait. That looks more like the UK, just elongated a little bit. Even like there seems to be like this wall on the map,
mm-hmm.
That reminded me of Game of Thrones, like the wall in the north, like that just reminded me of England and Scotland.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sword and shield.
The one chick is wearing like the Scottish kind of cap.
Yep.
There's the one town that we got to like a look at that looked like it had Big Ben, although it wasn't Big Ben, but it looked like London, basically is what it looked like. I know it had like a little steampunk vibe there, but whatever. It looked like London.
Yeah.
To be fair, a lot of people, when they think steampunk, they start to think of London because that's like where some of the steam like revolution started, mm-hmm. like an actual technology and stuff mm-hmm. at one point in time, trains and all that. So I think it's I've already made a video on this. Eric, what are your thoughts? We saw about a minute and a half of the game itself.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this game?
It positives, looks beautiful.
That's it? It's your only positive.
No, I mean, I do like the starter Pokemon are pretty cool. I do like them. For the first time ever, I think I like the grass type starter the most.
Grookey.
Yeah.
You're feeling Grookey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you weren't feeling Bulbasaur back in the day? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, right. No, not the most. I did see one thing that kind of bothers me.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Let's go.
So, one other... Yeah, okay. Thing that bothers me the most. Looks like we're back to the random encounters.
We're definitely back to the random encounters, based on what we saw. Lock and change. Why? I know.
Why? I just don't understand it. I get it. It's a core mechanism of the... It used to be a core mechanism of the game.
It is a core mechanism. And everything but Let's Go.
I know.
But that's like the one thing from Let's Go we always want to carry it over.
Yeah. I hate having to go into an area and not know if there's a Pokemon there and I have to sit and walk around for however long to just find
it. No, and not just that. What I loved about how it worked in Let's Go is you walk around an area and you would get, I don't know, you'd run into 20 or 30 different random encounters just to find the one you want.
Right.
Whereas, in Let's Go, you still have to move around back and forth between areas to make new Pokemon appear, but you don't have to keep encountering them in order to finally get the one that you want. Yep. You could just keep moving around, keep enjoying the world and the music, and you don't have to get bogged down as much. And that is something I loved in Let's Go. It is one of the biggest things in Let's Go that was absolutely nailed.
Yes.
And that's not how this game works. This game is straight up traditional random encounter. I mean, literally, you saw him sneaking through the grass. I don't know if that was a potential move to get a jump on a Pokemon.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know. That could be a new mechanic or something. But what I do know is they were just kind of sneaking through the grass and Pikachu. It's like, oh, jeez.
Hooray for random encounters.
Random encounters.
I mean, yes, you can still have quote-unquote random encounters in Let's Go.
Well, yeah, they would pop up right in front of your feet, yeah. But you could still...
But you would know what you're fighting.
With good stick work, you can avoid it.
Yeah. Or at least you knew what you were going into.
Yeah.
It's like, well, crap, I didn't want to fight this.
Or accidental bump into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you're just wandering around Zubat's cave. There, you can see the Zubats. Hey, guess what? I can not fight them if I don't want to.
Yeah. It's...
That's the part that...
It bothers you?
It bothers me. I don't know why. Because Pokemon has been...
That's the way it's always been. Yeah, it's always been that way.
But now that I've gotten the Pokemon on the screen,
I don't want to go back.
I don't.
Why is it better for you?
I can see things. I know if something's there. I can avoid it if I don't want to fight it. It makes gameplay faster. And especially with how... Again, going back to being a Gen 1-er, quote-unquote, and having the gotta-catch-them-all thing slammed down my throat over and over and over again.
I still slammed it down my throat and Gen 1 so long ago.
Right. With how many Pokemon there are, speeding up the game to get all of them isn't a bad thing.
I think it's just people like it. Like, I like it just because it feels like a game. It's like it respects my time.
Mm-hmm.
I get that in RPGs, there's always a lot of grinding and a lot of this. Yeah. But here's the thing. The grinding is usually for the purpose of leveling. And you're still going to have to grind to level your Pokemon. So, like, the grinding had a purpose. But in Pokemon, if you were just trying to catch, you weren't trying to level any Pokemon or learn any new moves. You were just trying to catch a specific type of Pokemon. All the grinding was tedium.
Mm-hmm.
And you still, like, even in Let's Go, like, just because you know there's, like, a 1% chance that a shiny this or whatever, you know, a shiny Ponyta or whatever is going to appear in this area, it's a 1% chance. It could still take you hours of just farming that area to still get it. So it didn't make it easier to get the Pokemon, but what it did was respect the time in between the Pokemon.
Also, it feels more realistic.
Yes.
If I'm out in a world and I'm walking through knee-high grass, waist-high grass, I can generally see the grass moving. I may not know the exact Pokemon.
Pretty sure so, I could see a Snorlax above the
grass. Right. But if, like, let's say
or a deer,
a Rattata or a Pidgey or a Pikachu, sure. if they're in the tall, if it's in quote unquote taller grass,
yeah.
You may not know which one it is, but you'll know a Pokemon's there.
Yeah. Whereas, and that would have been fine too, like if they would have just showed that the grass is moving.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you don't know what it is, but you know something.
Right.
Especially
if you're out in the open.
Especially for the smaller Pokemon too.
Granted, you don't generally have random encounters out in the open. You're generally in grass or you're, you know, whatnot, unless you're in a cave. Like, when you're out in between worlds, if you're in the middle of a walkway, you're not going to have random encounters. But, you know, if they're out in the open, like in a cave, if, you know, you see things, it makes it more realistic.
Sure. Okay. Is there any other bad takes you have? Or negative takes, I guess, of the rest of it?
No. It looks beautiful. It looks like it could be fun. I never had a problem with the... I like battles, so it you know, the whole battling to capture type thing. You know, that part I'm neither here nor there on. I know you like the just throw the Pokeball to capture.
Yeah.
I understand. I see both ways. I like battling.
I knew that wasn't going to come back, but I...
Right.
I prefer it. I wish it would come back, but whatever.
Right.
I know. It actually makes more people happy that that's not there. So.
Right. That one didn't bother me as much.
I think when I... So, my original take on this stuff was that I think it does have the potential to be the greatest Pokemon game ever made. They said they want it to be the greatest Pokemon game ever made. It looks grander, I guess is a good term to use, than any other Pokemon game I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, they are making a bigger world. This is the biggest map I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The camera angles, I don't know if there's a free roam camera. I hope you can control the camera. If you can't, it's going to be a big letdown for me personally. Mm. And I think it's going to be a letdown for a lot of people if you can't control that camera and actually enjoy the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I've always wanted in Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Understood why it wasn't possible in top-down,
right.
You know, 3D. But we're not on 3DS anymore.
Right.
Give us the ability to enjoy the vistas. Anyways, that's besides the point. My original take was like, this to me looks like what the next Pokemon game would be if there was just a more powerful, like the next 3DS came out.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, 3DS 2, 4DS, whatever you want to call it. Like, the next generation 3DS comes out, this feels like that's what Pokemon would be on that. It would just be what Pokemon's always been with a little more on top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this game feels like. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, and that might lead to it being the best Pokemon game ever made.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, I have this thing in my mind, and this is totally on me. Game Freak never promised this. In fact, we should have expected it to be more like this because Game Freak said they were making that Let's Go was made for TV, that Gen 8 was made for handheld. So that should have been our first clue that they weren't going to do anything super special. I have this thing in my mind where I want, like, how long have we wanted a Pokemon game on a home console? Like a traditional Pokemon game? I mean, basically our whole life.
Yeah.
Basically, we've been waiting. Like, some of you guys are like, oh, whatever. Like, I've been waiting for this for 20 years.
Yeah.
Ever since it came out on Game Boy, not just Game Boy. Ever since we got Pokemon Snap, since we got Pokemon Stadium.
Stadium, yeah, right.
How badly did we want a full Pokemon game like Pokemon Stadium, RPG style, on a home console?
Yeah, definitely.
We never got it. No. We never got it. It's been 20 years and it hasn't happened. Yeah. So for 20 years, I've been waiting for the core series to come to a home console. And it comes. And this is what we get?
Yeah.
This, to me,
I agree with that one.
It's another handheld... It's another handheld Pokemon game. Like all the rest of them. And people are going to be happy with it. And I'm like... Where is my next leap,
where's the innovation to a certain extent?
The Bravados? I don't know. Like, Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, you know, Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
Like, all these series that, like, they were always this one thing, and then finally, when they had the power to be something more, they did it.
Yeah. I do want to have one caveat on this, though. We are basing this all off of a...
Yes.
Really, really, really short clip.
Sure.
So there is that caveat.
But what I'm looking for, that clip is like the exact polar opposite. Right. They're not going to scrap that and make a whole new game now and the end of the year.
I understand, but you have to throw that caveat in there.
Sure.
It's based on a really small clip.
There's even things in the game that like...
I like the snow. That was pretty cool.
Sure.
And then it was like snowing and the weather was there and stuff like that. That was pretty cool. If they carry it through with like... Every once in a while, it rains or
sure, but
or
to me, like we're just talking about natural progressions of what happens, right. Anyways.
Yeah,
like but. Pokemon has changed many times over the years, but it's all just been that natural progression. Where's the leap?
Yeah,
where's that leap? Mario 64. I'm sorry, that was not a natural progression from Super Mario World.
No, not really.
That was what? Excuse me.
Yeah, right.
No one thought that. And then, that happened. And people are like, when are we going to get like a 3D Mario or 3D Zelda or whatever? That's fine. Well, you know, maybe you expected there to be a 3D Zelda because of a precedent set by prior games. So here's my thing. Where's my 3D Pokemon game? I'm sorry. This to me is Link's Awakening DX.
Yeah, we're still.
This is Link's Awakening on Switch. This is still top down. This isn't really like the full 3D perspective that we want.
We're still like 2.5D.
It's not in 3D, right? Like I'm not saying these aren't 3D character models and that like we haven't seen angles where, you know, but like still it's the camera angle, okay? Still gives off this perspective that you're just playing another Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not like this revolutionary thing. You're not with the camera behind Link running through that grass, right? You're still looking at the grass running through it from the top. It's like what? That's not new.
Yeah.
And there's going to be new mechanics. There's going to be new stuff. But
it'd be interesting to see a Pokemon game first person. That would be interesting.
Again, and I'm not even saying that we need an open world. I know some people really want an open world one. Yeah. I don't know that we need open world. I'm just saying something different. Yep. Something fresh. Like, take a risk. Mm-hmm. This feels so safe to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the safest they could have done a new generation of Pokemon on Switch. It's, look, we know what we're good at. We're just going to keep doing that and make it look prettier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
No, and even then.
I get you.
Even then, if you really want me to nitpick, for as gorgeous as the game looks, it only looks gorgeous for a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
If you dig through the visuals themselves, they don't exactly look that impressive.
Yeah.
I've
only watched it twice.
I've watched it like a few dozen times. It's like there's textures in the game that are super blurry, which that happens, right? Like a lot of games have low poly textures, but like it feels like there's a lot of them in this with an art style that doesn't need.
Again, though.
And again, that's where your caveat it's not done yet can come into play. Those textures can be improved, but it's still like...
But
there's other things we know have to be improved. As an example, where were all the NPCs? They obviously will be there. You assume they're going to be there. God, I hope the world's not this empty. I mean, if it is, then it's definitely post-apocalyptic. And what the hell happened? why is everyone dead?
That would be interesting.
Everyone dead?
That's why it's short Sword and Shield. It's post-apocalyptic, and we have to go back to the Middle Ages. There you go.
Yeah, we got to crawl through a hole and find the Kakiri sword.
Yes.
And then But
another thing, though, too, is how much of these, how much of that was actual gameplay versus trailer?
Well, some of it, I think, was trailer for sure. Like,
because
that opening shot they show of, like, I think is probably the starting village. That, to me, is trailer and or a cutscene lead-in. Because I don't think, because you're not controlling a character at that point. So, to me, that's just a, hey, we backed off the camera. Look at how pretty this looks. Yeah. And, like, the thing is, when they did that, some people were like, oh, that reminds me of Breath of the Wild. Remember that opening shot in Breath of the Wild where you see the whole world? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but that's not actually representative of the gameplay, per se. Although, in Breath of the Wild, you can get some viewpoints like that.
Yeah.
Like, in this game, none of the camera angles after that, when the character was actually being controlled on screen, looked anything like that.
Right.
I mean, heck, there was even one where you're going through, like, this mountain pass snowy area that you mentioned.
Yep.
And, like, it was completely top-down. Completely, totally traditional Pokemon. So it's like, but I don't want that.
Yeah.
I've had that for 20 years.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This isn't me saying these games aren't going to be great. Mm-hmm. I'm picking them up. Let's Go was good enough for me to give this generation a shot and see, who knows, maybe it becomes my favorite Pokemon game of all time, but I'm still going to have this thing in the back of my mind that I'm playing this on what Nintendo is telling me is a home console.
Right.
In fact, I'm just straight up going to be playing most of this game on my TV. And I finally have that home console Pokemon game that I've been begging for 20 years, and it's just more of what I've already been playing for 20 years.
Yeah.
Just prettier.
I don't know which ones, which textures you were specifically talking about, but I had in my mind I was thinking you were talking more about like the house. The
roof on the house looks horrible.
When it looked almost like an oil pump, but it's not. That's what it looks like. It reminded me of. It looked like an oil drill.
Show you one example. I tweeted it.
But
look at the texture on the arm logo.
Oh, God,
are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, that is disgusting.
That's on Switch.
Yeah.
Walking into the stadium at the end, there's this logo patch on his arm. It looks. I mean, it looks okay. I'm going to use I don't like bringing up other YouTubers' opinions on things like this because I don't want people to feel like it shaped mine. But the BitBlock did a video, and he's not a fan of Pokemon. So full disclosure there that, you know, he's not a fan of Pokemon, so he's not going to have a lot of nice things to say anyways. But he brought up an interesting thing multiple times when he was reacting to the footage. It looks like a Wii game. It looks like a GameCube game. It does not look like a Switch game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of all the Switch games we've gotten, like, this game does not feel like a Switch game. Like, put it this way. If you do side-by-side comparisons of that trailer and then even something like Octopath Traveler, right? Mm-hmm. Super old school. Octopath Traveler looks so much crisper and so much better. And yes, I realize that's a finished game versus an unfinished game, but it's like, do we really think Game Freak's going to do suddenly fix that?
Right, yeah.
Like, those little minor details that they just don't care about most of the time.
Yeah.
That we don't notice on the 3DS and DS because the resolution's so low.
Tiny.
Who cares?
Yeah. Right.
Like, I mean, think about it. Think about this. Pokemon Let's Go came out, and there's been a lot of, like, you know, criticisms of it. But for most part, people think it looks crisp and clean and all that. And I'm not saying that's necessarily got better texture work, although it's crisper texture work. But they still, you go in to put your Pokemon to heal them. What are the images used for healing your Pokemon? You know that they put the six Pokemon on the screen. The old sprites. When you're buying things in the shop, what are all the images? The old sprites. Why?
Yeah.
Why are we? Why?
I don't know.
So like Game Freak did that. So now I'm supposed to suddenly think they're gonna fix this?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Yeah.
Why? They know 15 plus million people are gonna buy these things. Why? Why spend the money? Why put in the work?
That's why.
Why? That's the thing. There's a difference between Game Freak and Nintendo's internal studios in that Nintendo's internal studios care so much, a lot of the time, not all the time, about game quality with their core IP. Like, you would never imagine imagine in Breath of the Wild going up to Beetle and you go to buy arrows and the symbol for an arrow is the old school NES arrow symbol.
I mean,
it'd be cool looking, but imagine the entire inventory is that all the time.
No,
it's like,
I get you.
Really? You couldn't make a new art piece for the damn arrow?
And the other thing, too, is I was gonna ask, I thought about something, you know, you showed me that picture, and I don't know why this bothers me, but the guy looks like he's got helmet head. The hair is just, There's nothing to it.
In the final version of the podcast here, I'll throw up the image we're talking about.
It's just flat. And I was like, well, could they texture that out a little bit? And I was like, would the Switch be able to handle?
Of course the Switch. Go look at Dragon Quest XI.
Well, not just that, but Breath of the Wild, the individual grass blades. I'm like, yeah, never mind. The second you brought up Breath of the Wild, I'm like, wait a minute, grass blades. Never mind. It can definitely handle that.
Like, I'm not even mad about the lack of anti-aliasing, because Nintendo just doesn't use anti-aliasing. So, like, the little blurriness around the edges doesn't really bother me so much. But, like, that logo,
that's beyond
that is horrible. Absolutely horrible. And it's not even that. Like, if you look earlier and when he's walking up, his shoes look just as bad as that. And it's like, and there's like a point even in that opening shot when they show you the village. If you actually look on the edges along the bridge, some of the texture of the grass or the moss or whatever, I don't even know what it is. It's so damn blurry. Mm-hmm. It's like there's just parts of this everywhere in this thing.
I must not have.
Well, when you're looking at the overview, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you notice the snow, you notice the water, you notice the cool right. effects or this and that. There's action.
They draw your attention away from the crisp, clear area.
Yeah, your eyes are being drawn away from it, but like when you step back and you look at the broader scope of it, it's like, ooh, like they zoomed in on that weather vane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, yeah, that weather vane's cool, but look at that roof. What is going on? That is disgusting. But they're focusing on the weather vane. Yeah. So it's like, and the thing is, this isn't me saying that this isn't the best looking Pokemon's ever been in terms of the core games. I'm saying in terms of the core games because there are parts of me that are starting to think games like Pokemon Snap, even at a lower resolution, look better.
I like Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon Snap is so good. Pokemon Stadium. Pokemon Coliseum. Heck,
yeah.
Someone needs to get out Pokemon Coliseum and start comparing it to this game.
There you go.
Because the more and more I look at it, the more and more I'm like, God, this is like Wii in GameCube level. Like, why doesn't this feel like a new generation game?
It feels like it's the same old, same old.
I know.
To a certain extent.
And I'm going to get blasted for this. Oh, yeah. I've been blasted for it.
I'm sure we're getting blasted right now.
I think it's going to be the greatest Pokemon game ever made. I think that they are going to achieve their ambition, and this is going to become one of the most beloved Pokemon games of all time, and I might be singing its praises. But I can't help but have this feeling that I feel like this should have been more significant than what it is.
Yeah.
But there's nothing I can do about that. And people are going to, it's your own personal expectation. It's this, it's that. I'm like, well, one, I don't think anyone should ever have the expectation for a game to look like it's from two generations ago.
There is that. But it's not your personal expectation. They literally said they wanted this to be the best. So they set a high bar.
But here's the thing. Yeah, it could be the best it could be the best without being my expectations. Like, their bar to be the best is just to be better than what all the other games have ever been. It doesn't have to be an Ocarina of Time of the series.
Right, but generally when somebody says that,
Nintendo, if there's ever been an expectation set, it was Nintendo. Whenever there's been this, like, the 3DS and Switch, it's worlds apart in terms of power.
Yeah.
So whenever something like that happens, what has Nintendo done in the past? They've done something special with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a chance for Pokemon, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm left feeling like there's other games on, like, Pokken Tournament, hello?
Mm-hmm. Now,
looks better.
Now, a question. I'm fairly certain that it works with the Pokeball Plus.
What?
The new Pokemon.
Why would it? It doesn't have the motion throwing mechanics, as far as we're aware. Granted, Pokemon's always been able to control by basically one or two buttons, so it might still work in as a base controller. I don't know, but they didn't talk about that. So
it almost feels like it should. God, I mean, you pay for a controller for one game.
Yeah, but you knew that when you bought it.
I know.
You knew that when you bought it.
And I bought it for some ungodly reason.
Mew. Let's just be honest. Yeah. You want to complete. You're. It's Gen 1. You need that Pokedex.
There it is. But, you know, that aside, next thing for me is good God, is there a some sort of stadium league
okay.
something?
So I think this is where we get into some positives, because as much as it's not meeting my expectation for what I hoped that the first like console Pokemon game could be, especially compared to prior console Pokemon games. Anyways, setting all that aside and setting the visual quirks and everything aside, there are some things about this that look pretty exciting. Obviously, we talked about the weather.
Yeah.
Some of the different themes are really cool, like with, you know, steampunk in London.
Yeah.
It looked like there was like this futuristic thing going on above the wall on the map and this massive city that's sprawling and bigger than anything I think mm-hmm. I've ever seen in Pokemon. So like that's a thing that exists that we didn't really get to see much of. And there, at the end of the thing, and even on the map, like there's like this stadium. And there might be multiple of these stadiums. People presume they were gyms, but maybe they're just stadiums.
Maybe they are gyms. Maybe they. Maybe
I don't
the gyms
know.
Are stadiums.
Well, if you think about it, like you go to the animated
yeah.
series, like
right.
Ash is fighting in tons of stadiums
right.
all the time, and it's not yeah. for gym badges.
Yeah.
There's gyms and there's stadiums, and the
that's
stadiums
true.
Are like
true.
The leagues.
That's very true.
Right? Right? That's yeah. where like you're trying to get, you know, rated
the
Indigo League, the Johto League. Like,
yeah.
You're trying to get like rated
yeah.
and ranked and climb up the rankings and eventually fight the championship. And I wonder if they're bringing that aspect from the animated series
which
to the games.
Could be cool. That
which
part could be.
Especially if they make it semi-multiplayer. Where you're doing the stadium battles, but you have the initial NPC ranks and all that stuff, but like there's an additional league in there where you and say, you know, 20 of your friends can join up at one league at one gym, and you guys battle it up to go to the top and become mm-hmm. the champion there. So then not only do you get like, you know, you get the bragging rights with your friends, you also get like some in-game stuff. I think that would be really, really cool too, because then that also brings Pokemon, because Pokemon's always been multiplayer from day one, so it kind of brings it
right.
to life a little yeah. bit, and that you sure you have your NPC and your single player way, but then you also have like this multiplayer way. I think that would be cool, and I think that's something that they haven't really done.
I don't know if I see him doing that, but I
well they talked right. about doing things like not being afraid of doing new and unique things, as we talked about them not doing new and unique things. But
yeah.
they talked about doing new and new unique things while having to still feel like Pokemon. And I think even within the framework of what Pokemon's always been, that could work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would still be what Pokemon has always been. It's just something that has been more associated with the animated series, not so much with the games as much. So I think that would be cool. There's definitely something going on with this. I hope it's not just like a cutscene for
right.
like the for like a, their own Elite Four or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Because it looks so cool. But
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case either.
And I think some of the moves, like we got to see some of the Pokemon fighting moves. It's hard to tell a lot of the advances over what we just got in Let's Go. But some of the moves, it looked a little more dynamic. I know we didn't see many, but it looked a little more dynamic. Well, I'm hoping it continues to get fleshed out.
You mean double kick isn't?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we saw a double kick. So
yeah, right.
I hope double kick's still that. Just jump,
literally
two little hops in the air.
Jump. Wow.
Well, it looked like the attacks actually hit the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which sometimes some of the attacks look like they do and some don't in Let's Go.
Yeah.
So, like, double jump definitely doesn't,
double kick
doesn't look like you're kicking
I
the other Pokemon.
I literally wanted to see somebody just go freaking, like, jump in the air and just get on double leg kick.
Yeah, it should be like you go over there and you literally see the leg
kick.
Go boom, boom. That's two kicks.
Yeah.
Or something. Like,
or drop kicking.
Like, physically actually hit the other, like, in the animated series, physically hit the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, don't just stay in your spot and send an attack way off.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not really how it works. Like, the physical attacks in the animated series, they're physical attacks.
It's a scratch. They scratched the
yeah.
other Pokemon. Yeah.
Anyways, so we'll see. That looked like it might be taking a step in the right direction, but we'll see. It's just a small step, though. I don't think this
yeah.
is, like,
right.
exactly where we would like it to be. I'm trying to think of anything else. I mean, the missing NPCs, I'm not too concerned about that.
Right.
Early alpha footage, and, you know, NPCs yeah. usually probably the last things they put in. So I'm not too concerned about the lack of that. There was some cool, you know, some other cool environments. We saw like a mine, it looked like, with some crystals, different color crystals briefly. That looked kind of cool. So it's probably a nice underground area for ground Pokemon or something. We saw there was like a snow village, or like it was like winter in a village somewhere.
Yeah.
With the lights and everything. That was really pretty. I don't know what you do there, but it was that was really pretty. There were the water looks good. I don't know how the final water is going to look, but this water, you could tell like it wasn't. I don't know. The water didn't look like it was fully fleshed out to me. It looked like it had a nice start, but I'm hoping that's not the end of it. I hope it.
Right.
They make it a little bit more realistic, and I'm like, oh, but this art style. So what? The Wind Waker had pretty realistic stuff going on. They can make it more realistic. Yeah. They can make that water really, really be something special in the game. I mean, heck, if they can do an Octopath Traveler, come on. I'm trying to think of anything else that I remember specifically that just... I mean, the library looked really cool. There was that room where the girl was in with the library. Mm-hmm. That might have just been in your hometown. Might have even been in your own house. I don't know. Yeah. But... I will say, like, so we've got to see the inside of what I assume is your house. And even though it looks kind of generic, it kind of always looks generic, to be fair. Yeah. One thing that we can't know that I hope is true, like, I've always wanted to be able to interact with more things inside buildings.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of always been one thing Pokemon has always done poorly is there's only like set you can interact with the PC or the TV,
trash
can, like or a trash can, like, but you can't open a drawer.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why can't I turn on the sink?
Yeah.
Why can't I do the dishes if I want? If I have dishes in the sink, why can't I start the dishwasher? Yeah. Like it's a dumb minute
open the
thing.
Refrigerator and make a sandwich.
But it's
come on.
It's part of making the world feel real.
Yeah.
Like. You go into a museum and it'll be like, oh, you better not touch that. But I want to touch it.
Yeah.
What happens if you touch it? Touch. I don't know. The game doesn't let you touch it. Touch. It's just a sign that says don't touch. It's like I want to be able to interact a bit more with the world.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like Breath of the Wild, get on top of everything and touch everything. But smash! Like, or break everything. But like just to have more things interactive. Like I don't know. I hope that makes sense to people. I'm not 100% sure where I was going with that one.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
There are some people that think this is going to be open world because of some things they did. Like when we saw like the hillside with the legendary stuff going on in like in a crop circle kind of thing. Or when we saw like a forest shot that looked very reminiscent of the old Twilight Princess trailer. Looked like this big expansive forest, but it was a very brief snippet that might not even be in the final game.
What? Even things from this video are probably not going to be in the game.
But it's like, I look at it and I go, yeah, but do you really think they're going to let us freely explore? They've never let us do it, not done it before. Why would they do it now?
I don't know.
I mean, they could, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like, even like the hillside with like the thing. Well, if you notice in the hillside, when you see that, you are stuck behind a fence. So it looks like it's just background fodder, and it's pretty background fodder, and background fodder is nice, but I want to explore it. I want to explore it.
Go run off a cliff and jump on the back of a Pokemon and fly it actually around?
You probably can't even do that in this game.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're not going to allow us to do that? That'd be kind of cool. Just go run off a cliff and like...
That would be sick.
Throw out one of your legendary like Zapdos or something and hop on its back and fly
away. Wouldn't it be sick to jump off a cliff? Like all Breath of the Wild style, and throw a Pokeball, and like have like Blastoise come out, and you can ride on the back in the water.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be sick?
Yeah,
that would be so sick. But like, we're not gonna get that from Game Freak. Well, that's not what they do. I want it.
Yeah,
I want that kind of act. Like, why can't we have that in the game? Like, why? I
want to hop in the back of my Squirtle and ride.
But again,
in the water,
there's a lot we don't know. I mean, we know, we don't know as much as we'd like to know, right. But we know we know more than I thought we were going to find out. I figured we would get a title in the starters.
Yeah,
I guess you like the starters.
Yeah, I think they're cool. They're interesting.
I think their designs are kind of Meh. I know this isn't even like a hot take at this point. Like, they're just kind of generic. I think I saw somebody on Twitter point out that the reason the designs feel generic, because you look at them, it's like, I mean, they're all unique and different. But then someone on Twitter went out and they started circling parts of each of the starters and saying that the parts are basically just parts taken from other Pokemon.
Scorabbit
came up. Scorbunny.
When that first came up, those feet are easily Meowth's. Easily. That's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, why is Meowth running? That is the... swear to God. I was like, what is up with Meowth? Is Team Rocket in this game? Like, is this going to be a big thing with, like, Jesse and James and Meowth too? I mean, that's pretty cool. Oh, it's a new starter. Why does it have Meowth's legs? All right. Cool. I mean, I can see that. I can definitely see that. The first thing, I swear to God, was Meowth.
Peter Alucard, I'm about to make him really mad.
Oh, boy.
He put a comment out there saying what you have to remember is the Link's Awakening remake and its art style, whatever, that's going to be $60, just like Pokemon, and Pokemon's art style is way better. I like Link's Awakening's art style better. I'm sorry. I can give you two primary reasons. One, Pokemon's art style that they're using in this game is just the normal anime art style they've been using for 20 years. There's nothing new or fresh about it. The art style in Link's Awakening is completely different than anything Zelda's ever done before.
There's that.
It's new. It just by verdict of it being new and fresh and different, it already captures my heart this Pokemon game looks...
This main character of the Pokemon looks like the main character of the last Pokemon.
Yeah, it's the last Pokemon. Yeah, if you compare the Let's Go characters with the characters from this, they look very similar outside of the fact that I think the characters in this one might be a little older because they're a little bit taller and slimmer. So I think they're a little older.
Right.
But the fact that you can even compare them, it's like, it's kind of the same style. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That it looks like a Pokemon game. Like, when you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, that looks like a Pokemon. And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But, you know, I think the bigger argument for, like, oh, Link's Awakening is going to be 60, this is going to be 60, is this is a new game, that's a remake.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the argument for which one's worth more money. Not art style preferences.
Yes.
Sorry, Peter Alucard, I can't agree with you on that one. And one thing I will say is I didn't come away from the Link's Awakening. And remember, I have a big bias to Zelda, so you always have to keep that in mind when I talk about Zelda games. But I didn't come away from that Link's Awakening trailer thinking, man, that's a bad-looking texture.
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, that looks really blurry there. That never crossed my mind watching that trailer, and I've watched it over and over and over again. But when I watch... Well, Let's Go trailer. It's like, dude, that arm patch, those feet, that roof, that grass. Like, there's some, sword like this sword and shield. Sorry, yeah. It just doesn't. There's something that's like,
I have to go back and rewatch.
Feels lazy, and I'm not saying that Game Freak's lazy, but it feels like, man, they could be doing so much better.
Right.
And the only reason that I can even say that is, Pokemon is massively a better seller than Zelda's ever been.
Mm.
Always. Pokemon is a multi-billion dollar franchise in that of itself. So, like, to me, to not expect Game Freak to not have blurry textures, like, right. I think it's a pretty basic expectation of a multi-billion dollar franchise.
Well.
But.
There is Madden. And that doesn't really change.
Well, here's the thing. And there's blurry textures. Like, I think Player Essence on Twitter brought up the fact, oh, there's blurry textures all over Breath of the Wild. Sure. There's even some, you can find some up close, like certain like cliff faces and stuff. Yeah. Like, I get it. I understand that. But there is so much other pretty things going on, it distracts you from it, right? Like, I don't feel distracted in this game from those textures. Like, when he's walking down the hallway in the stadium with his arm patch there's nothing pretty happening to distract him from the patch. That arm patch looks like it's from the 90s.
There is that. But the thing also with Breath of the Wild is I can understand them missing a texture here or there because of how open that world is. And
well,
if,
sure.
if they miss a texture
there's a certain
here or there,
there's a certain ambition to that game.
Right.
I think what makes people more forgiving of Breath of the Wild is the ambition. There is such an ambitious nature to what Breath of the Wild is trying to do that Zelda's never done before.
Yeah.
That ambition's not here.
That we know of. If this is a massively open world, I can understand a few things not missing
that.
A few things here.
Hey,
and
we have curved roads.
Woo!
I love there were people out there being like, oh my god, guys, can you see it? The roads are now curved. I'm like, that's what we're getting excited about.
Yes.
That think about that. Think about how archaic Pokemon has to be if what we're excited about is that there's a curve in the road.
Hey, they were super excited about slopes in Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, that's a creative though.
Yes, I know, but.
Because slopes make a difference in how you create things.
Right.
A curvature in the road doesn't change the fact you're going from point A to
point B.
Yeah,
it just
makes it more believable, right? But it's like, you're excited about that.
Was it
that should have
like an actual like C curve? Or was it a 90-degree angle?
No. It was a curve.
Okay.
It was a curve.
Okay.
So I think people got excited because, we can finally freely roam. Like, you could freely roam with your character already. It's what do the NPCs move like? The NPCs have always moved on a grid pattern. Are they going to stop moving on a grid pattern? We have no idea because the only NPC we saw was one that you battled. And what did they do? You walked by and da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, nothing's changing here.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm not mad about the game in general. I think it's going to be really, really, really good. I think it's, again, potential to be the best Pokemon game ever, and it feels weird to talk so negatively about it, but I think it's just, is my bar too high? Is it possible to have a bar too, I don't feel like it is when we're talking about one of the most popular franchises of all time. Shouldn't everyone's bar be that high?
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting kind of tired of accepting that this is what Pokemon has to be.
Yeah.
When we've seen glimpses and traces in their more experimental games of what Pokemon could be.
To a certain extent, I do understand why. Because when they went kind of sort of extreme with Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go, there was quite a bit of backlash of people not liking it.
Pokemon, yeah, but the opposite is that Pokemon Go is the most popular Pokemon's ever been.
Well, yeah.
It's played right now by more players than any individual Pokemon game has ever been played.
Yeah.
Like, Pokemon Go is in its own category. Pokemon Let's Go moved over 10 million units. So it's like, yeah, people complain, but people still bought it. People still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know? What I mean, and those aren't even that far. Like, think about it. Those are, like, forget Pokemon Go.
Right.
Okay, that's a side. That's a side game.
Yeah.
You know, so you have like your Pokemon Mystery Dungeons, your Detective Pikachu's, your you know what? Those are all side stories, right? That's all like on the side, like Pokemon Stadium, Snap, stuff I talk about. Like that's not core.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are side games. But what feels weird is in those side games, why are we seeing so much more ambition? Why have we not had a new Pokemon Stadium or Coliseum game since GameCube? Like, why?
I don't know. Why have we not had a Pokemon Snap? Another Pokemon Snap. I mean, seriously.
Especially on Wii U. It makes so much sense on Wii U. I don't know what...
It makes a whole lot of sense on Switch, too. I mean...
Like, there was an actual camera on the Wii U. Like,
why? There's that. Yeah.
3DS!
Yeah.
Could I have Pokemon... But that's the thing. And, yeah, I understand they kind of brought the Pokemon Snap functionality back a little bit in, like, Sun and Moon. But I just...
Well, and aren't they doing something in Pokemon Go that's kind of Pokemon Snap-ish?
Yeah.
I think if I remember right.
I don't remember. They're doing a lot of things with Pokemon Go. But I don't know. That's kind of all I really have to say, I guess, on Pokemon. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think there's some good things going on.
I want to share the story of what I told you. So I was able to watch... For the most part, I was able to kind of watch his stream this morning when he live streamed the Pokemon Direct. I took a shower during it, but I got out and was able to watch the Pokemon Direct part of it. And it got to the end, and the guy goes, And we have a whole bunch of other stuff in the works for Pokemon for this year. And then it ended. And both Nate and I at the exact same time went, and? You're going to show us something, right? No. Okay. Sure. Thank you. Why? That kind of peeved me in a way.
Oh, I bet.
You can't just say, oh, we have a ton of stuff. That's it. Bye. I mean, that's like us just saying, we have a podcast. Bye. I mean.
Bye.
So, it's just, I don't know. It irked me a little bit.
I'm not sure. So I saw someone say that, like, the reason we haven't gotten, like, new stadiums or new, like Pokemon Snap is because of sales or whatever. Now, obviously, no one expects a spinoff game to sell like what the core series does. But Pokemon Colosseum sold almost 3 million copies. If that's not enough...
That's not terrible.
If that's not that's for not a spinoff terrible. Game, if that's not enough terrible. To get a new one, then nothing... I mean, Metroid exists and it only ever sells like 2 million.
Yeah.
Pokemon Snap sales, we're almost at 4. I'm sorry, is 4 million not enough? Yeah. I know we're talking about Pokemon, but we're talking about spinoffs.
Yeah.
We keep getting mystery dungeons that don't even sell that much. Granted, I guess maybe they're cheaper to make. I don't know. Like, when you say, oh, so suddenly 3.7 million is not enough to get a new one. Well, I guess Zelda should have been done ages ago, huh?
Yeah. There is that.
Like.
Yeah, yeah. I
hear you. That is a weak excuse. That's a weak excuse.
I hear you.
Anyways. All right.
I don't think I have anything else.
I don't think so either. Hey, I mean, we do know one other game coming from Game Freak this year. It's just not Pokemon. Town. Maybe all their ambitions put in Town.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's saying it's still Town. Because wasn't that just
a... It was a tentative title. It's Town, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Probably will be the final title.
More than likely.
But we'll see. We don't really know a whole lot about that game either. So,
yeah, and hopefully we see a little bit more about it eventually.
Anyways, that's it. That's episode 98, Nintendo Prime Podcast.
Yeah.
Where can they find the podcast, Eric?
Oh, good God! You're gonna do this to me again. iTunes, Google through the Google Play podcast app. YouTube, obviously. Hello, NintendoPrime.net. I know I'm missing one. Podbean. There it is. I feel like I'm still missing one more.
Your
turn to take over.
Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go.
You know, the most important one. The one where they can get it a whole day early, the audio version, for $5 a month. Also, if you're a $5 and up backer on Patreon, you get mentioned in one podcast per month at the beginning of the podcast. Like we did during this episode for, I don't know, was it 20 or 30 people we did that for? I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in. Thank you so much for your support on Patreon. Your continued support throughout this month, throughout the past month, I guess, of February, in spite of the lack of content. I promise that things are going to be getting better because I don't think this winter weather is going to continue all year. I hope not. I don't know.
Right.
It's still happening, so we'll see. But anyways, regular content should start coming out in this new month of March. So cool stuff. I guess that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at Ninty Prime. You can follow Eric on Twitter
at Emo8790.
Awesome. Do you have any closing? Hold on.
Oh gosh.
Let's close with this.
Oh Lord.
Tell him a joke. Just pull one right out of the brain.
What?
You don't want me. You know how many jokes you've told me in your life?
Yeah. How many of them are inappropriate?
It can be inappropriate. Just pick your least inappropriate joke. So no dead baby jokes.
Two guys walk into a bar, another one ducks.
Aww, you go with the lame classic.
I mean, I don't know.
I love putting Eric on the spot like this. It's so funny.
I don't do this for a living.
I can't come up with a joke right away. So I'm just like, you know what? I haven't heard one of them in a while. I was waiting for you to say just one that was like, oh, so inappropriate. Got to cut.
Cut. I know my jokes. My jokes live in the gutter. I can't. Do you want this video to be able to go up at all?
It's already up right now. We're live. Nintendo Prime. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next one. Oh, Lord.